Thank you, Steve, for that song this morning. Things look different from the shepherd's point of view. If you've ever flown and been above the ground, then you can see how things are plotted out, and you can see fence rows and fields, and it really is kind of neat. It's kind of like patchwork, like quilt work. When you're above and you're looking down and you're seeing even the cities, you can tell the streets and the sections. And so easy at times, so many times it's easy to get wrapped up in our little place in life where we're at. But if we could see what God sees, well, two things. If we could see what God sees, we would have some peace. But we would also probably just stay in bed and cover our heads up and not want to get out. If you really knew what your day was going to hold, would you? You know, some days you just like, man, I wish I could just start this day over. Have you ever felt that way? But God's got it all in control. Thank you, Steve. It goes right along with what we're talking about today. Pastor Mike asked me a while back, and it was actually scheduled to talk about today's topic. And he gave me the topic and the scripture that we were going to use for our text, Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 22. If you want to start, go ahead and start heading that way. Luke 8, we'll read a couple verses, but we're going to look at more of the scripture as a whole. We'll get into that in a minute. But he asked me to do that. When he gave me that text, and I was scratching my head because it's the when Jesus is, and the disciples were getting in the boat, and it's about Jesus being the master of the wind. And I'm like, what in the world does this have to do with being fishers of men? And I read it, and I read it, and I read it, and I read it, and I read it. And I'm like, I just am not getting where he's going with this. And he gave me the freedom to draw from it what I wanted to draw from. And I'm thankful that he did that. And then just all of a sudden, something jumped out at me that I had not thought about before in this story. So we're going to look at it together. So if you'll stand with us this morning for just a second, we're going to read. We'll read today Luke chapter 8. And we'll go at verse 22 and we'll just see how far we go. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. I'm reading from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. Yours will be similar, but it may be just a little bit different. One day, he and his disciples got into a boat, and he told them, "Let's cross over to the other side of the lake." So they set out, and as they were sailing, Jesus fell asleep. Then a fierce windstorm came down on the lake, and they were being swamped and were in danger. Verse 24. They came and they woke him up saying, "Master, Master, we're going to die." I think the King James says, "Do you not care that we perish, or carest not that we perish?" Something along those lines. And then he got up and he rebuked the wind and the raging waves. And so they ceased. And there was a calm, and he said to them, "Where is your faith?" They were fearful and amazed and asking one another, "Who can this be? He commands even the winds and the waves, and they obey him." Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have this morning to stand here again today. And we ask that you would speak to our hearts the words that you have given me, that I can speak them with clarity and that they would be received by your people today for myself and for them. Once again, be with those who are not here this morning. Speak to their hearts today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All through Luke chapter 8, as we're going through this chapter, when you read through this chapter, Jesus is just giving one parable right after another, and the disciples being who they were, or they're trying to soak all this in. And here you have this teacher, and he is just speaking word after word to them into their lives and instructing them and teaching them and preparing them for the ministry that they would have once that He had fulfilled His mission here on earth. And several of the parables that are in this chapter, the parable of the sower and the parable of the sower is explained there, and then talks about using the light that they had been given, and Jesus is teaching them. He's spending time with them and He's developing them. And when you look at our bulletin, and when you remember that Pastor Mike has been going through our core value statements and our core principles here of this church to care and share, prayer, care, share, and empower, this is what Jesus is doing. He's mentoring, He's building these relationships, He's instructing these men as they're out doing the things that they are doing. And so Jesus comes to them one day, and He's got a mission, He's got something that He needs to do. And we'll talk about that as we get further down into this chapter. But Jesus is done where He's at. He's spent His time there. He's taught the multitudes. He's taught the disciples. He's teaching them lessons. And Jesus has a plan. He needs to get to the other. He has an appointment. There's a man that we'll talk about in a minute that has his appointment with the Savior waiting on the other side of the pond. But now, or the lake, if you will, and now it's time for them to go and to engage in that ministry. So Jesus says to His disciples, let's get a boat, and we're going to go over to the other side of this lake. And so they did. The call came out to cross the lake. The call came out, if you will, as our bulletin says this morning, to go across the pond. And I know that we think of foreign missions when we think of crossing the ocean, and we kind of relate that, but this morning our mission, we know, is as close as across the street as it is halfway around the world. And so, just speaking today, our role, our responsibility as followers. And Jesus tells His disciples, let's go across. Now we got to remember the diversity of His disciples. Some of them were called, some were called as fishermen. Now these guys had experience with the boats. If I was going to go out on the water today, I would look around this room here. And no offense to any of you men or women, but there's a couple of names that stick out to me. I won't call them out, but there's 3, 4, maybe 5 men in this room right now that if I needed to get in a boat and go down White River or cross bogs or cross, go out into the water pretty far away, there's a few of you that I would call on for your expertise, because I know your way around a boat. I know you know how to operate a boat. Okay? That's just given. If I wanted to skin a hog and butcher a hog, there's a couple of people here that I know that I could go to and say, hey, I need your assistance. If I was having a medical episode right now and was laying on this floor, there's one person in this room that I would want to make sure had quick access to me, and it would be Dr. Kerr. No offense to any of your other, I mean, Kathy's a nurse, I would want her to be close. But, I'm sorry, but Mr. Macy, I want Dr. Kerr. If I want to speak Spanish, I'll call Mr. Macy. There's people that have expertise in areas that you just, if I want to have a good conversation, I'll talk to Harold. Because Harold is always up for a good conversation. Even when I'm trimming the bushes in front of the funeral home, I'll take a 30-minute break to talk to Harold. That's happened recently. My boss said, am I paying you to work or talk? And he was kidding. I think. I hope. Anyway. But there was a diverse group of individuals on this boat. There were tax collectors. There were some fishermen. There were different men that Jesus had went and come and he had picked out, handpicked. And here they are. Now listen. There was a preacher that we sat under for a few years when we lived in an area, and he made the comment one time, his people have always been people. So we kind of got to read between the lines a little bit, and kind of just knowing people have always been people, we can kind of embellish this story just a little bit. So I can imagine that Jesus says, go get a boat, we're going to go to the other side. And there were probably some that said, well, why are we going? Why is he wanting us to go? I'm sure there were probably some people that stood around and said, well, that's a bad idea. There were a few that probably jumped right in. I'd say those boys that were fishermen, they probably said, well, yeah, any day on the water is better than a bad day on the water is better than a good day on land, right? Fishing, Bob says a bad day fishing is better than a good day at work. I know that we set out to get involved in ministry when we were living here, and we decided that we felt called to go into prison ministry, and we had people that said, here you go, what do you need, how can we help you go? We had people, some well-intentioned, some even family members that said, I don't think that's a good idea. And you're going to find out that when you have a calling, and I don't care what it is, there are diverse callings, and there are as many people that are as in this room this morning, and as many people that are joining us at home today. There are as many people that are in here, there's that many callings. Some educate. Some take their experience that they learned in the field and they go and they educate others. Some take their knowledge of the woods and the water and they impart that to a young man that needs a mentor or needs some help. Some of them stop by when you're trimming shrubs and just give you an encouraging word. You all have a calling in your life. You all have something in your life. But I would say there's probably not a person in here. I'd say that there was probably someone, maybe not, but I would be willing to bet that when Miss started her beauty shop over here, there was probably some that said, go for it, you'd be great at it. And I'll bet you there was at least one person who said, well, that's a lot of work. I don't know if you want to do that or not. There's always going to be somebody to try to bring you down. But they had a call to go. And they got in the boat and they went. Now the interesting thing about this story is that Jesus, having been teaching and having been sharing and pouring himself out for days upon days, gets in this boat. And he just finds him a nice little place and drifts off to sleep. I can see that. I can get that. He was tired. The last few days had been long, exhausting days for him. And Jesus gets on this boat and they're sailing across the lake here to get to the other side. And he finds himself. Take a snooze. And by the way, Jesus took naps, so it's biblical. It's okay to take a nap. If you're tired, take a nap. If Jesus can take naps, we can take naps. Okay? Dean's back there. He's ready for one. He's going to get his nap in this afternoon. He didn't have his vitamins. He needs a nap. Okay? So here we are. Jesus is resting. They're sailing across the water. I'm sure there's probably some man talk going on over there, and they're probably talking about things, and there might be a fish jump over in the distance. Ah, if I had my rod and reel, that'd be mine. And they're out there just doing their thing, and they're kind of relaxing. They're having a little downtime, and they're sailing across the lake. Now, even today, you can watch shows on, I watched one the other day, meteorologists were talking about this particular area, this particular landscape with the hillsides and all the diversity of the lay of the land and everything. The sea there is very prone for it to just be beautiful, pristine, smooth sailing conditions, and then all of a sudden, just out of seemingly nowhere, a storm will come up and cause violent seas, huge waves, and here they're sailing and everything's going along, it seems pretty smooth, and then boom! Out of nowhere, this storm comes and it is raging and it's ravaging their boat. And they're being tossed around, and it's probably at that time that Doubting Thomas, you remember him? I bet he was over there just wringing his hands. I knew this was a bad idea. I told you this was a bad idea. We should have never come. You're dumb for not listening to me. Besides, where's Jesus? We can't even find him. And I'm sure that he was having his words, and the guys that were used to this were probably like, stay calm. We'll get through this. We're all right. We're gonna be in that. There was probably some bickering and probably some talking going on, and Jesus is just resting. And it'd be easy for them to blame Jesus. Well, if he was awake, if he was up here, this wouldn't be happening. Sometimes in our lives, we're sailing along and things seem to be going along, and then we hit stormy seas, we hit rough places in our lives, and it's easy for us to doubt. It's easy for us to say, God, I thought you had this. I thought you were in control. Why is my boat about to sink? Why did this happen? And there are going to be things in life that come across us in our calling, no matter what your calling is. There are going to be things that will happen that will try to distract us, try to detour us. And they'll even try to destroy our calling. When we were called into prison ministry, there was something that happened. Someone had said something, and I don't even remember all the details about it. And it was just chaos, and it was the enemy. It was the devil. He was trying to sink what we were doing in our lives at that time. He was trying to destroy it before it ever even got off the ground. And the devil is like that, and he will send things our way. But the important thing that stands out in this story to me was Jesus' comment. And it's so easy to overlook what he said here that we just kind of glaze right over it. If it wasn't in red letters when he's speaking, we might not even notice it then. But when he said to his disciples to get into the boat, Jesus says, let's cross over to the other side. Jesus didn't say, get in the boat and if we make it. He didn't say, get in the boat and we'll hope for the best. Jesus invited his disciples into the boat and he simply said, let's cross or we're going to cross to the other side. Your calling can be based on the promise that if he has called you into a work, he will see it through. If he has called something in your life for you to do, and he's given you a plan, and he's given you a purpose, he will, in his time, see it through. Jesus said, let's cross over to the other side. I was reminded when I read that of Abraham and Isaac. There's another fine line in the story of Abraham and Isaac that is so easy to overlook and to miss if we're not careful. And you remember when he's going to make the sacrifice and God had told, he woke Abraham up and he said, I want to take your only son, the son of your promise, and I want you to take him to the top of the mountain and I want you to sacrifice him. And they're climbing that mountain and Isaac is looking around and he's like, where is the lamb? Abraham says, God will provide the lamb. And in that story, He tells Isaac, he said, "We are going up to the mountain to worship." Go back and read it. Don't take my word for it. And Abraham says this to his young son who's wandering. He says, "We are going up the mountain to worship, and we will come back down the mountain." Abraham had faith to believe that God was going to provide. He didn't say, imagine Isaac if Dad would have said, "We're going to go up here, but I'm coming back." Isaac would have probably, "Dad, my back hurts. I can't. I'm tired. I don't want to go. I want to play ball. I want to go play ball with my friends. Abraham said, "We will come back." Jesus says to his disciples, "Get in the boat. We're going to cross the lake." And why is that important? It's because there was a mission to accomplish. As you read farther into this story and you go down into the scripture, you find out that after he calmed the waves and the peace and the stillness came, and they were finally able to continue sailing on, that when they got to the other side, their mission was waiting on them. It's the story of the man who was possessed by devils and that he lived in the tombs. The Bible said that he wasn't able to live in his own home, that his family and for their safety and for his safety, that he had been abandoned from his home and he had been sent to live in the cemetery. That was the only place that it was safe for him, and they would bind him with chains and that he would break those chains. And you remember the story that Jesus speaks to the devils and he asks, "What is your name?" He says, "We are legion, because we are many." And you also remember that Jesus made deviled ham that day. That he sent the demons, the devils, into the pigs, and the pigs ran down the hill and they drowned themselves. And the man was set free, his life was redeemed. And at the end of that story, there's this interesting thing that is said. He says, "I want to follow you, Jesus. I want to get in your band of individuals here, and I want to follow you. I want to go with you." And the mission that they were set out on to accomplish, the disciples didn't know that morning when they got in that boat what they were going to encounter that day. Jesus had simply just said, "Get in the boat and let's go." But they witnessed something that day, and they saw at the end of that day that Jesus is speaking to this man who was living in the tombs and demon-possessed, who is now sitting there clothed and in his right mind. And the community comes out and they see this, and the Bible says at the end of this chapter that they were in amazement. That they were actually, the Bible actually says, they were afraid. How weird is it that the demon-possessed guy is now sitting there having a intelligent conversation with those around him and the community people? That freaked him out more than him being possessed and ripping his chains. It said they saw him. Man, that's another message in of itself. How many of us know somebody that if they would just get their life straightened up and get their life turned around and give their life to Jesus, what an amazing thing it would be. And people would be in wonder and amazement at what God can do for that individual. And that is another sermon for another day. But at the end of this story, Jesus tells this man, "I don't want you to come and get in our boat and go with us. I want you to go back into your home and into your town and into your community, and you tell of the greatness that has been done to you." And that falls in with our statement for this church of empowerment. Jesus empowered him because they had been called to go to the other side, had endured some hardship. Christ brought them through it. They arrived.
they accomplished their mission for that day. This man was delivered, and he was then set out to share the good news with those around him. But it all boils down to one simple idea. And that is trust. We have to trust Jesus every aspect of our life. And when He says go, we have to trust that He knows what He's talking about, and that we go. And that when the storms come, we have to trust and have faith that He's going to take us through that. And when our mission is set before us, we have to trust that He's going to give us what we need. He says, all power has been given to me, and I now release that to you. The authority that He received, He has imparted upon us to preach and to teach and to share and to lay hands upon the sick and all of those things that He has given us to do. The greatest lesson on trust that I ever got in my life came from one of my kids as we closed this morning. Lena, if you'll come to the piano, please. Hope Divine, she's not in here, I don't think. She's back here. Oh, shoot, she is in here. Well, here goes. Hope was born in the great state of Florida. And she was just a little tyke, about knee high. And we lived in Bluntstown, lived on Parrish Street. Had a front porch that had posts. They were kind of these vintage looking. They were iron and they had grapes, like grapevines. They looked like grapes and they were on the corners. And they would stand on the corner of that porch, and it wasn't real high. It was probably, I'm sure it wasn't up to code, but it wasn't high enough that we had a railing around it. But it was probably a couple feet, maybe at the highest, the slope, maybe 30 feet. We'll say it was somewhere between 32 and 30. It was far enough that if you fell off and wasn't expecting it, you could hurt yourself. Steps that went down. Never forget it. It was, the porch was poured concrete, but it was chipped brick that was laid down in there, so then they glazed over the top of it. Kind of a unique look. Had these corner posts, and the kids was always, it was all the kids, and the neighborhood kids would come around. They would stand on that porch, and they would grab hold of that wrought iron post that was there, and they would put one foot out, and they were always swinging out and holding on to that, you know, and they would just be talking or whatever, doing their thing. Well, one day I was out in the yard, and I was doing some stuff. I don't remember what. And Hope was just a little bitty thing, younger than Eli. She was probably about three, probably about like Norby, a little older than Norby because she was talking, probably about Shelby's height. And so she was out there jumping around, doing her thing, playing. Hope always had a wild imagination. And it was hard telling what she was saying or doing, singing, dancing, doing something. And I was in the yard, and I knew she was there. I was aware that she was there, but I wasn't really paying that close of attention to her. All right? So I'm standing on the ground. I'm on ground level. She's on porch level. And all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I see Hope flying through the air. I mean, at full speed. She's just like, right off the porch. And in an instant, the dad Superman complex, you know, that kicks in. And I turn around and I grab her right before she hits the ground because she would have face planted right there on the ground. And I remember, you know, it's kind of one of them, what in the world? You know, you're kind of like, my goodness, what in the world? I said, Hope, why in the world did you do that? She never skipped a beat. She said, because I knew you'd catch me. She also told me that this shirt makes me look slimmer, so I don't know whether to believe her or not. But I was instantly reminded. Childlike faith, childlike trust. If we jump, He'll be there for us. So the question this morning is this. What is God calling us to do? Is it get in the boat? I don't know what your boat looks like. I really, at this point in my life, don't know what my boat looks like. I'm just, you know, I'm kind of at a place where I just, Lord, what do you want? What do you want? You know, am I where I'm supposed to be? Am I doing, you know, what do you want? I continue to do faithfully every day what He has for me to do at this point in my life. It may look different next week. It may look different tomorrow. I don't know. But at this point in my life, Lord, I want to jump. I'm willing to jump. I'm in midair. I trust You to catch me. I trust You to be there for me. What do You want me to do? The question today is this. Simple question. So what does your boat look like? What is God calling you to do? And are you willing to trust Him through it all? We're going to sing a song this morning, a couple of verses of 366. It's not an altar call type of message. I understand that. I realize that. But if you would like to come this morning and just spend some time around these altars in a few minutes of prayer, Lord, what do You want from me in my life? And I know it's a lot of times it's a song of invitation, and that what we're using it for this morning. The song says, all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence, daily live. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures, all forsaken. Take me, Jesus. Take me now.